Are you ready for the word? Amen. Me too. Today, the title of my message is Submitting to the Government. I did not get one amen. And now I'm changing the direction, man. I was going to try and be nice today. But Submitting to the Government is the title. And we're going to read out of Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. So if you'll stand with me, please, and we'll read it. Verse 1, obey the government. Now, if I just stop there, we should do what? Some of you are getting it. For God is the one who has put it there. There's no government anywhere that God has not placed in power. So those who refuse to obey the laws of the land are refusing to obey God, and punishment will follow. For the policeman does not frighten people who are doing right, but those doing evil will always fear him. So, if you don't want to be afraid, keep the laws, and you will get along well. The policeman is sent by God to help you. But if you are doing something wrong, of course you should be afraid, for he will have you punished. He is sent by God for that very purpose. Obey the laws, then, for two reasons. First, to keep from being punished, and second, just because you know you should. Pay your taxes, too, for these same reasons. For government workers need to be paid so that they can keep on doing God's work, serving you. Pay everyone whatever he ought to have. Pay your taxes and import duties gladly. Obey those over you and give honor and respect to all those to whom it is due. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come into your word and we come into this season, Father God, Lord, what has been a very trying time in the United States, and Lord, where there's a lot of just uneasiness and an unsettledness in our nation right now. Lord, may this word speak to our hearts today, that, Lord, that we would just continually be transformed by the hearing of the word. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. I voted last Monday. I got that vote by mail, so my vote's in. But the election day is, we are 9 days away from the election today. So it's crazy with all the stuff going on, all the voter fraud stuff, all the, you know, even indicting Mrs. Clinton again, you know. Settle down now. So, I mean, with all that's going on right now, it's crazy. You know, even crazier is I'm leaving for Pakistan on the 9th. So I have my full complete itinerary. It's 4 pages long. It's in the information booth. If you'll commit to praying for me, please take one. You'll know the times of everything I'm doing. I have 9 flights. We'll be in 3 countries and just going to have an incredible time. I know we're going to minister crusades in Pakistan for 4 days. We're going to minister in India for 4 days. We're going to be visiting an orphanage in India. I know some people have committed to get me toothbrushes and toothpaste and pencils and books for the orphanage and stuff. So if God lays something on your heart, I need 53 of them because that's how many orphans they have. So if you feel like there's something I can bring, it's small, compact, bring it by next Sunday and we'll take it there. So I'm excited to be able to go out. But you know, when we go through scripture and we look at this, you know, and I talked a few weeks ago, who should we obey, God or man? Who should we obey? God. Amen. God. So I know a guy in another country that this country is probably the number one producers of printed Bibles in the world. But they do not hand them out in their own country. They just print them. And my friend, he thought, well, maybe I should print some Bibles, and he printed a little over 1 million of them, maybe, and maybe a little more, and used to print all kinds of devotionals in Chinese, used to get books translated into Chinese, and the thing that he would do is he would have them printed, and then he would send them out, and I remember one time I was, when I lived there, he said, hey, can you come with me to the airport? And I went with him to the airport, and I picked up 30 suitcases, and we put them in a van, and we put them in my garage, and it was just filled with Bibles. But the next day, they were all out of my garage, and they were sent out into the nation. And this man printed 100,000 Bibles one day, and he printed 30,000 of one of the devotionals by Billy Joe Dougherty, and he printed 10,000 copies of Faith to Faith by Kenneth Copeland. And he had these all in Chinese and ready to go, and somebody turned him in from one of the printing companies. So that printing company, all the employees were arrested, and my friend was arrested along with all his employees. And I just happened to live in one of his apartments, but I had just come home to America and a week later he got arrested. And when he was in jail, they interrogated him and they beat him. It was the dead of winter, it was December that he was in jail. So they would strip him down naked and they would handcuff him like this, and then they would hang him on a fence and they would dump cold water over the top of him every hour and cattle prod him so that he would give up who gave him the money to do all this printing. They took his computers, his business stuff. I mean, he had multiple businesses, and they just confiscated all kinds of stuff from him. And they charged him with bad business practice. And his first defense was, well, I printed Bibles so that people would be better citizens. And when I think of that, I think, you know, we as Christians should be the best citizens. We should be the ones that are not having the troubles with the government, with the law, with the police. You know, we have a police officer in the service with us today, a former police officer with us today too. And, you know, these are men that I respect and love, and to know that, you know, that they get disrespected and a lot of junk's come at them lately, it just doesn't seem right. Because we saw through the scripture how we ought to treat our police officers. But my friend was released. I went back to the country and I met with his wife, and we prayed really hard one day. And that night, it was amazing because he was released. And we got together the next day, just had a great time. And 3 months later, they picked him up again, and they tried him. And the next defense that he had was, because they said it was bad business. He said, it wasn't business because I gave everything away. See, he gave everything away. When was the last time that we were able to give away 100,000 Bibles for free? And I'm not talking about the little cheap ones that are 8 font that maybe are just the New Testament. I'm talking about he gave away thick Bibles that were full study Bibles to the nation. That's what he would have printed and shipped out so that pastors could have a real Bible so that they could really study. And that's what he did. So he said, it wasn't bad business practice. I gave it all away. Well, they still weren't convinced, so they gave him 3 years in prison. And he did the 3 years in prison, and he printed the Bibles, even knowing that it was against the law. Even knowing that if he got caught, he could go to jail. And the scripture, clearly it says, you know, those who refuse to obey the laws of the land are refusing to obey God, and punishment will follow. So we know that there's a time where we obey God's voice, but even in obeying God's voice, you can look at the life of Paul and how many times Paul was beaten because he was obedient to the voice of the Lord and not the laws of the land. Now Delonda looks at me and she says, well, you don't obey the law because of the things that I do. I said, well, I'm just kind of hoping that I continue to ride under the grace that he's been showing me for so long that I still don't get caught. I still don't get beaten. I don't want to be beaten with rods like Paul was. I don't want to get lashes. Amen. I want to be able to go in and go out. So when I go into Pakistan, I land on a Friday. I share on Friday. I do a crusade Friday night. I do a pastor's conference on Saturday morning. Do a crusade Saturday night. Five churches on Sunday. Do a conference on Monday morning. A crusade Monday night. And then they drop me off at the airport and I leave. And then I come back. I rest for a day in Abu Dhabi and I go to India. When I get to India, they pick me up. I get there at night. I stay in a hotel. They pick me up at 6 in the morning. They drive me out 200 miles and check me into another hotel. And then where they take me to their orphanage where I can meet their 53 orphans and hear their orphan stories and just minister to the kids. Then they take me to a church and I minister there. Take me to another church. Take me to another church. Take me to my hotel. Let me rest for a minute. Come back, do a pastor's conference that night. Pick me up in the morning and go to a church, and then 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 go to a church. Then they drive me about 75 miles back towards the airport, drop me off in another city that night, and then I get up that morning and I do a crusade from 10 to 1. And then when I'm done with that crusade, they drive me back to the city where the airport is, and the host pastor there will pick me up, and I'll have dinner with him and his family. And then on Sunday morning, I'll minister in his church. And then they'll take me to the airport in the evening. We fly back to Abu Dhabi, get there at 12:20 at night. And then we come back to America at 5:30 in the morning. It'll be a whirlwind tour around the world. So I do need your prayers. But my friend, he got out of prison after 3 years. Came to America, went to Bible school down in Dallas, Texas, and just travels with Voice of the Martyrs today, sharing his story. And what's crazy is when Delonda and I were there with him, right before we left, we had dinner, and with him and his associate pastor there, these guys just ran a network of churches, and he got down on his hands, I mean not on his knees in front of me. And he asked me to pray for me. And he goes, I need to repent. I said, why? And he says, well, I told the Lord when I got to had a million renminbi, which is Chinese dollars, in the bank, that I would just stop and pastor full time. He goes, and I didn't. And he goes, and when I got to 5 million, I told the Lord, oh, I'll stop and I'll pastor. He goes, and I didn't. I told the Lord, well, when I get to 10 million, I'll stop and I'll pastor. And he was at that 10 million mark. And he's saying it's really hard to just let go of all that. But he had a vision from the Lord. God used that vision that he had given him. And he went to prison. But now, he's a full-time minister. He is serving the Lord and doing great things in America today because of that commitment. But what he had to go through to get there was not fun. It was a challenge. But let's bring it closer to home. I mean, that's the foreign field. That's out there, you know. But that's not like 50 or 60 years ago. That's, you know, 9 years ago. It's fairly recent. But let's take it to America today. There's a gentleman in Georgia. I'm going to read some of this to you. A lay minister who was suing the Georgia Department of Public Health for religious discrimination. He's been directed by the state's attorney general to relinquish his sermons to the government. From when he was 18 years old, they want a copy of all his sermons. And because, this is why, because he's suing them because he got a job with them, and he's a Seventh-day Adventist minister. He'd been hired as a district health director with the Georgia Department of Public Health. A week later, a government official asked him to submit copies of sermons for review. He complied, and 2 days later, he was fired. He was fired because in his sermons, he spoke against the laws of the land. He spoke against same-sex marriage in his sermon. And so they fired him. And so they are requiring him, because he's suing them, they are saying, we need you to give us all your sermons that you've preached since you were 18 years of age. And he's saying, no, I'm not going to do that. And but that's what's happening right now in America. This was just Friday that I got this email, and Thursday or Friday that I got this, and went through it, and I'm like, wow, this is right now. that they're asking for that. He said, I think it's wrong for a state to demand that a pastor turn over his sermons at any time. It was wrong for the state to ask the doctor for his sermons as part of the job application and hiring process. It was wrong for them to turn around and fire him when they listened to his sermons, and it's wrong now for them to demand that he turn over all the sermons and sermon notes he ever produced going back to when he was 18 years of age. So we're not talking about a foreign country. We're talking about the United States. We're talking about just over in Georgia, the other side of our nation, this is going on. And there are things going on along in our nation that are meant to take away our religious freedoms that we have today. And but I don't think we have to be worried. I'm not worried about it at all. I don't care. Whatever they do, they do. You know, it was Paul who had people drugged from their homes, imprisoned. You know, he had Stephen stoned. He imprisoned them. He had them beaten. He you know, ripped them out of their homes. And it was just crazy when Paul went going, or Saul at the time. And then when he became Paul, it was crazy how he was, you know, stoned. He was given 39 lashes a couple of times. He was beaten with rods. He was even let down in a basket over the city wall so they wouldn't kill him once he converted. You know, he experienced the same thing that he gave out. But this passage in Romans makes some strong statements about how we should be acting. And none of it is based on how we're treated. Because when you look at the time that Paul wrote this, the season that they lived in, it could not have been based on how good the Roman Empire was treating the Christians. Because, you know, they had the Colosseum, and they loved to throw the Christians to the lions in Rome. You know, and this is the book of Romans. It's a letter written to who? The Roman Church. So they understood what persecution was. They understood what it means to be squashed by the government. But yet he's saying, listen, you've got to become good citizens. So number one in my message today is obey governing authorities. Oh, thank you. I was waiting for that one. I know this ain't a fun stuff, but man, we're at a critical time in our country right now, amen? And, you know, God is the one, it says that God is the one who puts rulers into place. I believe that every person here should vote. I believe that every person that has the right to vote should vote in America. Can I hear an amen for that? Amen. When I was in Peru, they told me this. They said, if you don't vote in Peru, then you have no banking privileges. You cannot have a bank account if you do not vote in Peru. I thought, wow, that's pretty strong. And I think many people will step up and vote this time because of the craziness going on. But ultimately, it's going to come down to who God says to be in there. So whoever gets put in there, I don't believe that we should protest, we should cry foul or whatever. It may be foul. It may not be right. But I believe that no matter who gets in that White House, up, it is a God's desire for that person to be there. And we as the people of God need to not protest it, but we need to pray. Amen. Either way this election goes, I trust God. And I trust God. I put up a scripture today. I put up a scripture yesterday out of the book of Proverbs chapter 30 today. It said, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Amen? He is a shield. He is the shield. And then, yesterday, see, what was that scripture I put up yesterday? I didn't highlight it. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. And we know that. Whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice, but a companion of harlots wastes his wealth. The king establishes the land by justice, but he who receives bribes overthrows it. So we're seeing all this stuff going on in our nation right now, but as the people of God, we need to be good citizens. Can I hear an amen? And we need to be praying for the rulers that God put on us, you know, put over us. But the principles of God make it so that we, number two, obey God over all else. Amen? God is the ruler, we obey God. God puts rulers, if he allows an evil ruler in the place, if things don't go the way we think they should, we're still to be submitted, but we need to be submitted to God first. When the laws of the land try to usurp the authority of the word of God, there's a problem. Amen? There is a problem. And we need to be able to obey God in the midst of it. When the laws of the land come against the word of God, who are we going to obey? That's a simple one, guys. It's not a trick question. God. Amen? We're going to obey God. At some point, you have to know this. At some point, this whole thing is going to wrap up and Jesus is going to come. And if you read, and you read in even the book of Matthew, you'll see there are things that are have to happen that are gonna come to pass to make it happen. And they're not going to be pleasant. Hey, listen, when the day of the Lord comes, you do not want to be here. Because it's not going to be a pleasant time. When the tribulation really kicks in, it's not going to be, you know, all fun and games. And at some point, this has to happen. And I was with a group of pastors a week and a half ago, and we were talking about the election. And one brother said this: are we fighting against God? Are we fighting against what God wants? Because at some point, this is going to be over. And Jesus is going to take his church out. At some point, this is going to happen. And the key is, are we going to be in the position to go? That's what matters, amen? Are we in the position to go? So we got to obey God and all this. So we should still obey God's laws and maintain a peaceable life, even if the government is saying differently. Let me give you a couple examples that I have. Letter A, if you're outlining under obey God over all else, number A would be Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel chapter 6, verse 7, it says, we are all in agreement with it. We administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, they will be thrown into the den of lions. That's what the decree that came in the kingdom where Daniel was living. And so, as usual, when Daniel went and he would pray to the Lord, he would face Jerusalem, he'd put his mat down, he'd face Jerusalem, and he would begin to pray. And the people that were against Daniel waited for that time, they watched him get down on it, they caught Daniel praying to the Lord God Almighty, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they had Daniel arrested, they brought him before the king, and they said, King, Daniel did what you said not to. And the king wasn't real happy because he really liked Daniel. But he had him thrown into the lion's den. And I can imagine that they kind of starved them lions on a regular basis to make them hungry for when they threw people in there. But the next day when the king came to get to see, and he's like, okay, open it up. Daniel, are you still there? And he's like, yeah, I sure am. And he comes walking out, and he says, yeah, it's all good. And the king was so happy. And he said, you know, Daniel's God is God. And so the people that had Daniel arrested, he said, why don't you just go get in there and take Daniel's place? And they kind of freaked out. They got thrown into the lion's den. They were lunch for the lions. And but Daniel obeyed God, and God protected him through it. We can go to another one. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, long live the king. You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue. When they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and other musical instruments. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into the blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you've put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up. So what did they do? They heated that furnace up 7 times hotter than it was. The people that threw them in there got burned up. And they threw them in there, and the king Nebuchadnezzar sat and he watched. And he says, hey, get over here. He said, how many guys did we throw in there? He said, 3, sir. He said, well, why do I see 4 in there? We don't know. We only threw 3. And why are they just walking around in there? Come on, guys. Come out of here. Let me listen. And they come out. They did not smell like smoke. But Jesus, in the midst of that tribulation, had visited them there in that moment when they were obeying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and not what the government was saying. And God visited them there and he took care of them. And they came out and they didn't even smell like smoke. Or how about the young Hebrew men not wanting to eat the king's food? In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to him by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. And they allowed them to eat what they wanted to eat, foods that were acceptable to them, and for a certain amount of time. And when that time was up, they were looking better and stronger than the people that were eating the king's food. So they said, okay, you can have your way. You can do what you want. See, but in all of this, God protected them and was faithful to them for being obedient to the word of the Lord instead of the law of the land. See, because when you're obedient to the word of the Lord, God will not ask you to be disobedient to the natural laws of the land. He won't be telling you to go and murder. He won't be telling you to go and steal. He won't be telling you to go and do crazy things. He will tell you, don't do these things of the world. And that's where we got to make that choice. Okay, who am I going to obey, God or man? But he's still calling us to be good citizens of the United States of America. As challenging as it may be at times. Delon said, what are you going to do when they come to you and tell you that you got to do this, this, and this, or go to prison? I said, well, the first thing I might do is quit. She said, oh, that's a good answer. Just quit. But I probably wouldn't quit. I'd probably just keep doing what I do, and whatever happens, happens. We got to obey God, amen? But I'm still going to be a good citizen. I'm still going to be a right person in society, amen? But in every case, they were not violent. They did not protest. What they did was number 3, prayed. Prayer. Prayer works. Prayer changes things, amen? You know, they were also protected by God. That helps a lot. But you know, we know that some people have lost their lives, and today they continue to lose their life because they're making a stand for Jesus. You know, you go to the Middle East right now, and there's people every day losing their life because they've chosen to make a stand for Jesus and not for anything else. Even though the law is telling them you have to choose whom you're going to serve, and they say, well, we choose Jesus. And they say, well, if you choose Jesus, you're going to die. And they say, okay. You know, I remember reading the Book of Martyrs, and in North Korea one time they had an underground church, and it was literally underground. It was in caves and tunnels and stuff. And the families were down there having church service, but they were paving the road out, and there was a tunnel that went under that road, and so the road collapsed when they went over it, and they found these people down there worshiping Jesus, and they brought them out, and they said, you know, deny Jesus or else. And they said, well, we're not going to deny Jesus. And so what they did was they continued to pave the road, but they put their children first in front of the the flattening thing, you know, the roller thing. And they rolled their kids into the road. And then they rolled them into the road, and they went praising Jesus. Now, this is not, you know, 100 years ago. This is, you know, in the last century this happens. And so, you know, they just, because they wouldn't deny Christ. They wouldn't walk away from the Lord. And my prayer is that we don't have to go through that. No amen? You want to go through that stuff? I definitely don't. I don't. I want to see Jesus come. But you know what? Everywhere around the world today, it's happening. People are being persecuted and people are being come against for the name above every name, Jesus, every day. We get upset at the pastor and we don't come. I'm not coming. I remember Pastor Alfred Alleluia greets you today from Africa. He said, greet the church on behalf of me today. He greets you today, him and his wife Mary in Uganda, Africa. New Hope Family Worship Center, Uganda. But he called me one day. He said, Pastor, well, they call me Bishop. Bishop, how many churches are in your city? I said, 97. Oh, you are so blessed to have 97 churches in your community. I said, amen, we are. Now if we could get 97 churches working together to become the body of Christ, wouldn't that be incredible? I got the honor this week just to go sit with Joel Osteen and Joseph Prince. I took a picture of Delonda with Victoria Osteen. And because they just said some, you know, the meeting we were in, they just said some wonderful things. It was very encouraging. And then I start getting emails about how, you know, they're of the devil and, you know, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. And I'm just like, wow, you know. We're never going to come together. We're never going to come together. You know, they have a part in the body of Christ just like you and me do. And I know they love Jesus. We should never speak against people, amen? Because then you're taking the place as the judge. And that's when you step into the realm of where Jesus told us not to be. Amen. They were wonderful, sweet people. I asked Joel Osteen, I said, why do you think God trusted you with all this? And he said, the only thing that comes to mind is faithfulness. He said, I was faithful to serve my father for 17 and a half years to support his ministry and make it the best we could. Because I did everything my dad ever wanted or needed. And he says, and now that when I got my dad passed away and I became the pastor, he says, I just wanted to be faithful to the Lord. So that's my objective now. It's just to be faithful to what God is telling me to do. And I just, wow. You know, and God has trusted him with a lot. You know that they touch 40 million people a month. How many, before you judge him, how many people did you touch this month? 40 million, and they say half of those people don't ever go to church. I think, wow, I wish I could touch 1,000 a week. It's amazing how God uses people if we let him, amen? Be faithful. Be faithful to pray. Be faithful to pray. The book of James tells us the effectual, fervent, righteous effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Amen. When we know that we're walking with Jesus and we start praying, man, it's amazing what God will do. Amen. It's amazing. Our Friday night prayer meetings are just exploding right now. As Pastor Rob said, the love of God was so tangible in there Friday night because we were just worshiping him and praising him, and you could just feel the love of God just come down in that place that it was overwhelming to us. It's like, wow. And then an hour was by, and I'm like, whoa, an hour's done already. All right, go home, bye. You know, it's like nobody wants to go. But prayer changes things, amen? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Pray for everybody, amen? Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Number 2, verse 2, pray this way for kings or presidents and all who are in authority so that we can live. Everybody say we. we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Amen. So, in these days ahead, I challenge you to pray for our nation, to pray for our leaders, to seek God's face for them, to intercede on behalf. Pray for all those around us, amen. Pray for our city council. Pray for the mayor. Pray for the governor of California. Pray that they would just have an encounter with God, that they would experience the love of God, and that we would not be praying condemning prayers on them, but we'd speak the word of God over them, that they'd come to the point of salvation in the name of Jesus. Because if we have righteous rulers ruling our land, God will do amazing things in America again, amen. And God's gonna pour out his Spirit, whether anybody wants it or not. He says that there's the former rain, the latter rain, and that there is showers of rain coming, and when he pours out those showers of rain, it'll be more than we've ever imagined that God does, and that is coming, and it doesn't matter who's in the White House, showers of rain are coming to America. And we need to be ready. We need to be pressing in. We need to be ready for what God wants to do. We need to be ready to receive people that are coming in for the world. And you look at the world today, and you look at the trials and tribulations. These people are torn up, beat up, and run over. But we, as the people of God, need to be ready to build them up, amen, to encourage them, to restore them, to see the God of our salvation come alive inside of them, to see them accept the things of Jesus and walk it out. We need to be a help. God has never called us to judge. If we're to judge anybody, it's me to judge you. Are you of the faith or not? Now, I don't spend time judging people. Praise God, it's not in my heart to do that, but it is in my heart to see us come into the fulfillment of what God created us for. God is calling us to prayer like never before. In all of this, we need to be obedient to the laws of the land, except when they usurp God. And number four, pay your taxes. Now, I put that in there because it said, he said it in there. He said, pay your taxes. But if I could translate that down to you, just in simple terms, Ron King's terms, do what's right. Don't be a cheater. Pastor Rob and I, we did a transaction the other day with somebody in the community, and they told us, okay, we're going to do it for this amount. And then when they came, they damaged some things and everything. And Pastor Rob called them and said, hey, you know, this thing's damaged. You know, you broke it. And the guy's like, well, what do you want me to do about it? And Pastor Rob said, well, you know, lower the price. The guy said, okay, I'll lower it. He lowered it $200. So I gave the guy my credit card, and Pastor Rob bought me the receipt. The receipt that he wrote out was $200 less. But then I get a text from my credit card company, and the text was, did you approve for this amount? And it was the first amount with the $200 added back. I said, deny. The guy tried to cheat us. I was mad. Pastor Rob was mad. I'm going to call the guy tomorrow. I'm like, what are you doing? Don't cheat people. You know, I had my own business. I had an injection mold making company. And, you know, I hear all the time, people tell me, well, I don't like to work with Christians because they'll cheat you. I don't want to hire anybody from the church because I don't want any problems. We got to do it better. You know, we got to be the best we can be. Amen. When it comes to doing business in our community, people should be saying, I need to get a Christian. I need to get somebody from New Hope, because them people won't cheat you. Amen. Well, it's deeper than just paying your taxes. It's deeper than just paying your taxes. It's not being a cheat. It's being obedient to the laws and the laws of God. Amen. People need to know, if I hire a Christian, I'm hiring the best there is in the land. They need to know you're the best workman. You know, you do the best work, that you fulfill what you say you're going to do. If not, don't do it. Change. Retire. Verse 7 in Romans 13, it says, pay everyone what we ought to have. Pay your taxes, import duties gladly. Obey those over you. Give honor and respect to those with whom it is due. Now, the hard thing about this passage of what Paul wrote is he had to have a major change of heart to write it, because that's not who he was. But it became who he is. And even though he suffered, and even though he was beaten and tried, he was still a good citizen. He did the best he could. With all that was going on in the government at that time, he still tried to do the best he could. I think of Matthew, the tax collector. The Jews hated him. Do you want to know why? Because he was Jewish. And he was a tax collector for the Romans. And the Jews hated him. And yet Jesus went to his home and had dinner. And he called Matthew out. And Matthew walked away from being the tax collector to serve Jesus. Serve Jesus, amen. Be a witness that God could say, wow, look at him go right now. Be the one that's in line. Let's be in prayer for the people that God put in authority over us. You know, I repent before you guys today. I've not prayed for President Obama the way I should have. I didn't. I was unhappy with a lot of his choices, and I didn't pray. But I'm committing to pray for him now. And I'm committing to pray for whoever the next president is, whether I like him or not. I'm going to pray and intercede for them, amen? Because I do know this, that an outpouring of the Spirit of God is coming, and it's not based on them, amen? That God's got us, God's got this land, and God's going to do what he's going to do. Can I hear an amen? He is gonna. And we have to trust God and what he's up to. Trust God, amen? And just remember that this whole thing's got to wrap up one day. And Jesus is going to come. And we need to be ready. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we're standing before you, or I'm sitting before you today, Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us to be mindful, to submit to the laws of the land, to those that you place in authority over us. Lord, help us to be submitted to you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Help us to be men and women of God that pray like never before for our nation, that pray for those around us, that pray for the people, Father God. As you said, pray for all people. Pray for all people, Lord, that we would truly pray. Lord, that we would become men and women of prayer. But Lord, most of all, that we would live a good Christian life, a good witness to our families, our friends, and our community. That people will know that we are Christians by the love we have for each other. And they would see it and they would desire it. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Anna, I've not been a good Christian lately. Or maybe you've never made a commitment to Jesus. And you're saying, you know what? I want to make that commitment to Jesus today. I'm not asking you to join our church. I'm just asking to make a commitment to Jesus, who he is. Because I'm here today to tell you that Jesus loves you. He loves you so much. And we see through the Word of God how he protects and he keeps his people that are obedient to him. So if you say today, I want to come in under Jesus today. I want to submit my life to him. If that's you today, just raise your hand. Anybody here today? Everybody serving Jesus then. Praise God. Praise God. I ask if you'd stand with me today. What I would really envision for the end of this service is that we would all come to the front and begin to pray for our nation. That we'd all begin to cry out to God for these next few weeks, because no matter what happens, change is coming and stuff could happen, and we just need to pray against it. Amen. We need to pray that the God of peace, the one who sets rulers in authority, would rule and reign, and that craziness would not happen. So could we come to the front today and just begin to intercede and pray for this land, to pray for the presidents, pray for the president-elect, that God would just have his way in this land, and that we would be just the best that we could be, the best Christians that we could be, that are, let our light shine. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today. Lord, our nation is a nation in turmoil and change, Father God. Lord, there's so much going on around us, Father, that people are confused about what to do and where to go. And so, Father, we lift up the rulers. We lift up our president today. I pray that as he finishes these next 3 months, Father God, that your hand would be upon him, that you give him divine direction about what he should do, where he should be going, and Father, the things that he should say, and Father, that you would keep your hand upon him. That, Lord, that as he walks out of this office, Father God, he can walk out because he's done things in a right manner, Father God. I pray your hand be upon him. I pray for a visitation of God upon him. I pray that the love of God, come on, start praying, people. I pray for the love of God to just fill his heart today, overflowing it abundantly, Lord, that he would know you as Lord and Savior. That, Lord, he wouldn't just know about you, but he'd have a divine encounter with him. And I pray today, Father God, for the president-elects, Father God, that they would not only talk about you, they would not only mention you, Father God, but they would know you in a supernatural way. That, Lord, that their advisors would be filled with the Spirit of God. That, Lord, that they would have encounters with you. And, Lord, the things that they've been saying and doing, that they would have a repentant heart for these things, Father God. And that, Lord, transformation comes to our nation. That our nation would be ready for an outpouring of the Spirit of God. That, Lord, there'd be nothing that stands in the way of what you want to do. And that us as the people of God, Father, that we would pray and seek your face for this land. We would pray and seek your face for all men, Father God. Believing, Lord, for salvation for all of mankind, Father. We believe today for their souls. Lord, even as I go to Pakistan, I pray for a harvest of souls, Father God. I pray for an outpouring of your Spirit there, Father. I pray that, Father God, on November 8th, whatever happens, that this country would unite, Father God. We'd be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice. You love justice, Lord, and mercy. Let it be so in America, Father. Give us wisdom as the people of God. Give us strength. Father, I pray that, Lord, there be no division in the body of Christ over this. Lord, that we not speak against this person or that person because of who they're backing or who they're voting against. But Lord, we would know that whatever happens, you're in control. You are in control. So Father, we trust you. We trust Jesus. We trust the Holy Spirit in all this. So Lord, have your way in America. And let the people of God rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, that we would build this nation up. We would build the people of God up. Father, that there would just be an outpouring of your Spirit. Lord, as I asked Joel Osteen, why did God trust you with this? I just hear the Lord saying, he has trusted you with with the gospel of the kingdom for this day and for this hour. He has put it into your hands to be a light that shines so bright. So be that light and don't hide it under a bushel, but allow it to shine. You know, don't worry about what men say about you or what they declare about you, but be that Christian of faith, amen? Be that light that shines in the world and let it be known, I serve Jesus. I serve Jesus. And let the people know around you, they see, let them call you a goody two-shoes. Let them say, oh, here comes goody two-shoes, hallelujah, because you're reflecting God. Lord, I pray that we would just be a supernatural reflection of Jesus. And Lord, that we would be peaceable. Let us be peaceable, walking in all wisdom from above. Father, that we not slander each other, but we build each other up. Lord, we glorify you. We exalt you. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we lift our hands before you today. Lord, this is an act of surrender to you. Trusting you, Jesus, that you are our Lord and Savior. It is in you who our hope is in. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And we thank you for this wonderful day. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.